If your self-monitoring has shown that you're an angry eater, the methods you'll use to reduce this type of eating are different from the methods for depressed, lonely, or anxious eating. It doesn't matter if you get angry and fly off the handle and then eat to calm yourself, or if you're angry but don't say anything and then eat to suppress the anger. You'll still need to work on finding effective methods of coping without eating. First, recognize that angry feelings aren't necessarily bad. They can be a useful warning sign that there's a problem with a relationship that needs to be worked out. To do this, start by examining your relationship with the person that made you angry, and then thinking rationally about the events triggering your anger. For example, if someone cut you off while you were driving on the freeway, you don't have any continuing relationship with that person. Yelling at him or her won't improve their driving skills, and it's unlikely that you'll encounter this person again, so it's not worth getting upset and then needing to eat to calm yourself. Instead, you can just accept the fact that the other driver was either incompetent or just distracted and then forget about it. On the other hand, if someone who is important in your life prompts the angry feelings can motivate you to make changes in this relationship. Examine your thinking about the event that triggered your anger. Rather than just focusing on the uncomfortable feelings you were experiencing, think about what you'd like to change. While there may be some satisfaction in loudly calling someone an inconsiderate idiot, this isn't the most rational way to get the changes you want. Remember that labeling is irrational. Even if the other person was inconsiderate, it's likely that he or she has been more considerate at other times, so attaching a label isn't accurate. Likewise, yelling usually causes the other person to become defensive, so the message you're trying to communicate gets lost. If you're the type of person who has a temper or who is easily angered, recognize that just because you feel physiological arousal in your body, you don't need to fly off the handle. Instead, you can do vigorous physical activity to release the arousal, and then when you're feeling calm, rationally discuss how you would like to be treated. Some therapists suggest punching a pillow or hammering nails, but any type of vigorous physical activity will let your body return to normal so that you can think more clearly and then work to correct the situation that made you angry. If you're a bored eater, you might not be able to do much to avoid boring situations where you're tempted to eat. Remember Wayne, the accountant who was bored when he was working on his client's books? There was nothing he could do to avoid this boring task if he wanted to keep his job. If you're confronted with a boring task that you can't escape, you'll need to do something other than eating to cope with the boredom. One possible solution is to do the boring task in an environment where eating is difficult or impossible. Katie was a 22-year-old college student who was studying for a final exam in her chemistry class. She spent most of the weekend sitting at a table in her kitchen with her textbook and calculator trying to work out chemistry problems. She found this task boring and would stop every so often to get a snack. By Sunday evening, she had consumed over 2,000 unnecessary calories to cope with her boredom. Instead, she could have taken her textbook and calculator to the campus library and done her studying there. While there were vending machines in the basement, it's much more difficult to graze in the library than it was in her kitchen. Think about the boring tasks that are part of your weekly routine. Are you likely to snack when doing these tasks? Is there any place you could do them where food would be more difficult to find or where eating would be impractical? See if you can find environments where you can do your chores without eating. If this isn't possible, what can you substitute for eating when you want to take a break from a boring task? When Wayne and I review the circumstances of his bored eating while doing his client's books, Wayne commented that he was using his laptop computer. He could take a break by checking his favorite websites or playing a game online. If he was feeling the need to get out of the room, he could get something out of his car. It wasn't necessary to eat to relieve the boredom. If you're a happy eater, we don't want to do anything that would decrease your good feelings, but rather we need to find a way of extending your enjoyment without adding calories. When Justin, the college senior who had just been offered a job with a TV station, told me about his hot fudge sundae splurge, I asked him how he was feeling afterwards. Justin admitted that initially he felt great, but several hours later, after the excitement had died down, he was angry with himself. For several months he had been careful about his eating and had succeeded in losing 18 pounds. Now he was afraid that all his hard work would be undone. When he balanced it out, the extra joy that the ice cream provided was more than offset by the bad feelings he had later. I asked him what he could have done instead of having ice cream to celebrate his good news. After some thought, he came up with a list of activities that would have been just as much fun without adding the calories. He could have called friends to share the good news, or played an online video game, or taken the afternoon off and just hit golf balls at the driving range, or just practiced playing his guitar. If your self-monitoring suggests that you're a happy eater, it's important to examine your thinking when you're in a good mood or celebrating. When you have good feelings, an optimistic outlook, and increased self-esteem, does this give you permission to abandon your efforts to control your weight? If you're feeling great, does thinking about your eating bring you down? If you have these kinds of thoughts, it's probably a result of the typical all-or-nothing thinking that's characteristic of most diets. Since dieting is associated with feeling deprived and missing your favorite foods, why would you want to think about your diet when you're celebrating? If you can change your thinking about weight control, eating sensibly won't seem as unpleasant, so it won't be necessary to abandon all restraints when you're celebrating. Now we've covered a lot of information about emotional eating. You'll probably want to go back and review some of the sections that were most relevant for you. Several repetitions may be necessary to change long-standing habits. If you'd like more detail about the different patterns of emotional eating, check my book, Emotional Eating: What You Need to Know Before Starting Another Diet. Remember, controlling emotional eating will take some planning and persistence, but your health and well-being are worth the effort.